Blog Talk Radio.
And your love, hallelujah, unmeasured.
We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for filling us together in unity once again around the spectrum. Father God, we know that this earthly planet is not our place. But we know that you have lying in reserve a mansion that's not built by the hand of mortal earthly man. You are its creator, and you are its architect. But until you crack those clouds, one of these historical days, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, for those that are hurting deep within the pity of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. And we shall say as a holy nation, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, I just thank God for being able to come before your presence on tonight. And I know that some of you is relatively late in other parts of the world, and some parts of the world that it's even daylight. But for those of you that are able to tune in to hear a rhema word from the Lord on tonight, God is going to bless you. I thank you for being a patron of this program. And I pray that you will continually to listen in and be a blessing. And in with God is going to bless you as well. Hallelujah. So we will go right now into our program. Hallelujah. And our sermon on tonight, entitled Mistaken Confidence. I'm going to say that one more time. Mistaken Confidence. And we were going to take our key scripture coming out of the law of 1 Peter 1 and 18 through 19. And it reads like this. Hallelujah. It says that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious, hallelujah, blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that there are successful men and women that has made this statement. Hallelujah. Almost every Regent talks about a savior. They talk about a savior. Hallelujah, that's coming. But I'm reminded that when you look into the mirror in the morning after you have dressed for your workplace, you're looking at the savior. And I want you to know that nobody else is going to save you but yourself. And we know that as Christians, we do not agree with that worldview because it is in direct contradiction to the gospel. We know that the Bible teaches the exact opposite of such a self-sufficient confidence that the Apostle Peter said of Jesus, "Now is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved." And that's coming out of the law of Acts 4 and 12. And we know that in Romans 4, we have forthright teaching that it is by faith, not by what we do, that a relationship with God can be established. Hallelujah. But we know to him who does not work but believe on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And verse 5, we read in Romans 3 and 28, and conclude that a man is justified by faith and apart from the deeds of the law. By no means, not with money or with good deeds, can we secure God's acceptance of our sinful selves. We cannot save ourselves. We can be saved only by God's sacrifice of our sins. And he rose from the grave. And we know that the wages for sinners is death. And we also know that Jesus is longing to save you from sin. So I would suggest to you, don't wait till you draw your last breath. Because Jesus gave himself to give you and I salvation. Hallelujah. And we're talking about mistaken confidence on tonight. And we're talking about faith. We're talking about God. We're talking about sin. We're talking about justification. Hallelujah. And we just thank God because we are not where we once was in sin and shaped in iniquity. But we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the crucified one. And we come to the knowledge that Jesus was fully God, yet he was fully man. Hallelujah. And as a man, his power and his wisdom and his grace flowed not from his divine nature, but from his utter dependence on God. We know that the Son can do nothing of himself. He said in the law of John 5:19, how much did Jesus do apart from God? And my answer is nothing. We find out that Jesus always depended on his Father. Luke reports that as news of Jesus' ministry spread, we find out the great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness. And he prayed. And in the law of Luke 5:15-16, he knew he needed those quiet times to restore his soul. What's done in secret is what matters. It's during those quiet times that we, like Jesus, are shaped and molded and made into people that God can put to his intended use. But you may say, I'm in a place where I can't be useful. I'd like to ask you, perhaps you feel that circumstances limit you traumatically. You might find that illnesses or financial problems is a difficult, or maybe a difficult boss, maybe a coworker, or uncooperative family member seems to conspire against you. Whatever your situation may be, I would encourage you to use it to grow closer to the Savior. Learn to have utter dependence on the Father, just as Jesus did. Leave it up to God to make you useful in whatever way he sees fit. And you can prayerfully pray this prayer. Oh, that my life may be useful as I serve Jesus faithfully, and may the world see Christ in me. This is my earnest prayer. We find out that the measure of your usefulness is the measure of your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're talking about mistaken confidence on tonight. And we know that all around us, we find out that life is changing at a dizzling pace. Even in the church, change is happening so fast that it can be tough to even keep up. For example, to communicate more effectively with people in the Christian world, we find out that Christians have changed the way church is done. We know that many believers have become accustomed to churches, even without pews, sanctuaries without hymn books, and message outlined and sound projectors onto large screens. We know that Christians have also recognized the need to change their method of reaching out to non-Christians with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that churches use sports leagues to bring the gospel to people in their neighborhood. They even open up food pantries to reach out to the disadvantaged. They hold special group meetings for people dealing with grief or addiction. But we find out not everybody is changing. And we know that if there is one thing that Paul insisted upon, and it is that works has nothing to do with obtaining or retaining our salvation. We come to the realization that we are justified by faith and faith alone. You can read in the law of Romans 4 and 5, and then 5 and 1. And it molds and methods of worship may change. When we find out that salvation is through faith in Jesus alone, and we know that that will never change. We know that we live in an unchanging world, but we know that unchanging is the word of God. And we know that salvation is by grace, through faith alone in Christ who died in every sinner's place. We know that in a world of consistent change, you can trust God's unchanging word. Hallelujah. And we also know that by faith, we find out that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. That's found in the law of Hebrews 11 and 24. Instead, he became an active voice against oppressor, exploitation, and sins of Egypt. Hallelujah. And we know, as an act of faith, he chose to identify with the poor and the powerless, against the powerful, by faith. Moses, under the direction of God, led a revolt against the sinful and exploitation nation of Egypt. By faith, Moses was able to see the invisible, the eternal kingdom of God that rests on the foundation of justice and righteousness. That's in verse 25 through 27. And we know that if our faith is a reality, we must relate the will of God to the affairs of this world. We know that fellowship with God carries with this responsibility and makes his unexhaustible resource available to us. We find out that by faith, we can be agents of redemption in our communities. We find out that of faith, we can live out individually and communally with ultimately help people and institutions comfort more close to God's will. We know that one of our tasks as a faith community is to give hope to those who are broken and battered by sin, to those who do not enjoy fellowship with our gracious God. In addition, the faith community has a responsibility to speak out against sinful behavior, systems that do not support and nurture the human family. If our faith is consecrated on eternal goals rather than temporal goals, we'll be able to accomplish God's will in this world. And our sermon on tonight has been Mistaken Comfort. I want you, that are out there in my podcast listening audience on tonight, to grab hold of faith, grab hold of confidence in God. God is absolute everything that you and I will ever need. Don't depend on your workplace. Don't depend on your man. Don't depend on your physician. Don't depend on your parents. Don't depend on your priest. Don't depend on your neighborhood. Don't depend on your friend. But depend on God and God's word. What we must do is take doubt out of the equation. Take doubt out of the equation. The equation. Take doubt out. And implement faith. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. But faith in God. Faith is a belief. Faith is not nothing that you can see visionary with your eyes. But faith is a belief in something or someone or a source. And so we must take the stipulations of our faith and walk boldly. Faith. Because we know that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I want to encourage you that are out there in my podcast, live listening audience on tonight. Grab hold to your rope of faith. Faith is your rope. Do not let go of your faith. Even you might say, well, say what? I don't have a whole lot of faith. I have just been abused and misused, ridiculed. I've been just talked about and scorned. And I've been mistreated by the church world, by my, you know, family, by my friends and constituents, people that I have to love and know. And I don't have a whole lot of faith. I don't trust a whole lot of things. I don't trust a whole lot of people. Well, if you have only a micro grain of faith, God only requires you to have a mustard seed of faith. That's all you need. That's all that is required is that you have a mustard size, mustard size, long as getting tight, but have a mustard size seed of faith. That's a whole lot to try to get out in one sense. But I'm telling you, that's all you have to have. And you will see your life start to change. Circumstances start to take on a new beginning. You have to believe that God is who he says he is. You have to believe that God will do what he said he will. God is a mighty fortress. God is all power. There is no one that can subdue the power that God holds. He holds all power on the earth and also over the heavens. So God is the mastery of all power. There is no other power. No other power. God said there is no other Holy Ghost power. God holds all the power. Hallelujah. So I would just encourage you to grab hold of your mustard side seed of faith. Mustard size seed of faith. Grab hold to it. If you need financial breakthrough, grab hold of your mustard size seed of faith. If you have marital relationship that you would want to service into marriage vows and then to a wedding. All you got to do is exercise your faith. If you want your family to come closer together, maybe they are apart right now, but you want them to come together and love one another, then I would suggest you to exercise your mustard-sized seed of faith. If you want to become pregnant and give birth, I would just encourage you to employ your mustard-sized seed of faith. That's what get God's attention, is I trust and believe that God will do what he said in his word. God has 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. And God's word declares, before any of his word return back unto him, void. You can look for heaven and earth to go right on off the end of the earth. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. God is not a liar. Everything come out of God's mouth is the truth. Only thing that lies is we, because we was born in sin, so that make us a liar. We scheme, you know, and we try to get away with things, you know. We know that we are mortal bodies down here on earth. So we lie, we steal, we do all this ugly stuff. And then come into the knowledge of God and acknowledge that we are honored and come to the realization of God. And then we tell God, I am a sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. And I want you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Then God will come in and take up housekeeping in our heart. But we have to have a clean heart, because God is not going to come in to an unclean temple. Our heart got to be right, got to be clean and free and rid of sin and tarnish. So our subject on tonight is mistaken confidence. And I would suggest you to grab hold to your faith, your mustard-sized seed of faith, and live and enjoy the goodness of Jesus. Let God bless you. God's desire is to bless you, to bring you out of what you're in, the dilemma that you're in, set you free where you can flourish. God wants us to savage, and God wants us to have what it is that we desire. God didn't say he would give us all of our wants, but say he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But God do honors our requests. He did say that. He said, let your request be done. So God do honor our requests, you know. So you just have to take God at his word and take the limit off of God. Take the limit off God and exercise your faith. Use your crazy faith method. That's what moves God. When we step up on God, don't look at what we can do, because aside from God, we can do nothing. We are nothing. But with God, we're everything. So I hope and pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to infuse your spirit and impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of God. And if this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the worship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You are encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been The Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Hallelujah. Email address, janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. And until we meet again, across these highways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We will allow these selections to bring our program to its closure. May God richly bless you, you and you. Bye for now.
like the Lord, Jesus.